Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Damn. Either way, I think I'd be hyped. But what I love to see, then you hear people who will say, like, let me see.
What about Duren?
Hell yeah.
They're not trading Duren, are they?
I don't know.
The way this draft may shake out, bro.
People talk about Jalen Duren possibly being available.
But I feel like you're going to have to give up, like,
I know with Jared, it feels like we've got some scenarios out there.
I would trade for Jalen Duren because
it feels like they want to get off of him probably.
He was sixth in the league in rebounding last year. He shot 61% from the floor, and he's 20.
Exactly.
He's 20.
True bro. 20.
Oh, he's a beast.
But I feel like it would cost so much to get him away from Detroit.
I don't know. But what if Detroit takes Klingon, right?
They could. I mean, they could. But, man, why would they do that? I mean, who they knows? Have Jalen Duren. You know?
I mean, there are people who says he's not good defensively because they don't have another guy beside him. They don't have another guy. They don't have, like, a Jaren on their team.
How the hell can you evaluate who is good on the Pistons?
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep. How could you possibly?
I mean,
you'd
have 2 years of control to him at $4 and $6 million. I mean, that's right. Way better.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like Jalen Duren costs a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just because of they know that they right. know you know the flexibility he offers, mm-hmm. and they're gonna want some blood.
I'm gonna tell you a dude that the Grizzlies could.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm gonna tell you a dude the Grizzlies could get that could. He's got a pretty nice contract too, but I really think if he got here, he could. A little older, a little longer in the tooth, but then his age might be questionable as well. He may have some questionable years.
Well, let me get this foreigner ready. Type it in.
Clint Capella, man.
Oh, yeah. No.
I don't know if you're dealing with true years with him.
Yeah.
But Atlanta, they're probably going to take a big in the draft. You know what I mean? He could be an odd man now. He could be a guy that agrees to look at.
I feel like he gets played off the floor all the time.
If anything, that dude can rebound and
he
and
can do that.
Block shots and he can play above the rim a little bit still. And yeah.
He's 30.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you something else interesting too, man. If the Thunder go after Hardenstein hard, right? And they just do something that and I wouldn't be surprised if they did it. If they just went out and just paid dumb money for Hardenstein, right? What's the name was using the Thunder for leverage? Jaws' friend. Why can't I remember names, bro? Claxton. Nick Claxton, right?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that news names comes back up again with the Grizzlies. Like, it's a lot of stuff. I'm telling you, bro, there's a lot of stuff between now and the end of free agency where it's a lot of stuff the Grizzlies could put their hands on. And that's why I'm not really stressed too much about the whole big man thing. Because there's a ton, literally a ton of dudes you can get.
No, I'm not either at all. And if I'm going to take a swing, I'd rather it be like on a
Because if the Grizzlies go out and they say, okay, we're going to trade down, and we're going to go get Khalil Ware, right, who's from the Pacers, and we're going to go sign Andre Drummond, and we got Vet Big that we know can go rebound. We got this kid that, you know, the sky's the limit with him. You can go that route. There's so many routes they can go to solve this issue, bro. So I'm not really stressed about that at all. But I am greedy, though. I do want to get a young player out of this draft. I think there are some players in this draft for sure.
Seems like you want to go to Aldi and get a deal.
I want to maximize what we have, bro.
I'm trying to get something.
With this new CBA, man, you got to maximize your brand.
Yeah. But see, again, man, Jared Allen, if he gets hurt, he don't take those injections.
But see, Jared Allen's played like 70-something games. Like
But he quits on you.
He's durable as a mug, though.
He quit on the Cavs. That man did not return at all. That man got hurt in the Magic series. Didn't play in the Game 7. Right?
Man, the man hurt his ribs, man.
Did not play in the game. What did you want him to do?
He will not take a shot.
And did not play in the Celtics series. That man just said, I'm out. Done. So that concerns me with a team that, like, okay, you're going to
But in terms of, like, his durability, he's played more games than Mitchell Robinson or your boy Time Lord or was it Robert Williams or whatever else.
Yeah, I mean, we've moved on from Time Lord because of that. Y'all dashed that dream.
You were stuck on him for a while.
Time Lord, I think I'm good on him, man.
About injury history too long.
I gotta see that brother walk.
I mean, I agree, but if he can,
I ain't seen that brother since the Golden State Warriors series in Boston.
If he can walk, though, I'm telling you, he'd be a good pickup, and he'd be a lot cheaper. You're getting him on the. You're buying low.
I just think there's a lot of sneaky dudes that, like, if you just kind of look at analytics and, you know, advanced numbers and all that type of stuff.
Bargain shopping.
But, man, you almost got to, though, bro.
Oh, it's go time.
Because if I go get Jared Allen, I got to trade Marcus Smart, right? Like, you're not moving him without Marcus Smart.
And
you're also going to have to go 9-22, right? And I'm like, bro, am I going to look at Dalton Connect and be like, I'm good? I don't know, bro. Like, I wrestle with all of it. Like,
it's also not going to matter who your five is, bro. It's going to be about your three dudes at the end of the day being on the court at the same time.
Yeah.
No, your five matters. You fell to 28th in rebounding last year.
I think anything for last year you got to throw out, though, bro. Like,
that's why, I mean, anything bad, at least. You're talking about all those guys, you said, with those little time that you had everybody together, you still didn't have a center.
Yeah, they were playing.
You're going to get clubbed on the boards by these big teams in the West.
Like, I think if you go get the replacement level center, Batate or whatever the hell his name is, it's all going to be about how good Ja, Jaren, and Bane are, and can they play together? Can they stay on the floor? Like, I mean, that's how I feel about it. I could be wrong.
And, like, bro, who was going around talking like, what's my guy that plays for Dallas, man?
Daniel Gafford.
Yeah, who's going around talking about, man, that dude, Daniel Gafford's a beast. Like,
right.
Who was saying that this
bro,
time? Like,
Daniel Gafford.
Starting in the NBA Finals and looked like he's supposed to be out there. Like,
you know what people were saying?
It's a random dude, bro.
What people were saying is that the lobs were killing Minnesota, right? Like, Daniel Gafford was a weapon.
Yeah.
Derek Lively off the bench was a weapon.
Yeah, I just think there's so many bigs in the league.
Gafford is a perfect example,
You can find a dude on somebody's bench that can come in and be a game changer for the Grizzlies.
Like,
that happens, bro.
You know that if the Grizzlies had signed the equivalent of Daniel
Gafford.
But I said,
if we get Jared Allen, I don't care what go out the door. I'm happy. Like, I'm not saying I don't want to do that.
Well, look,
I'm just saying don't make that your only. Don't make that the only thing you look at as being a success.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of room.
It's a lot of bigs in the league, man.
Because people would have said Daniel Gafford is an uninspired choice at center. Mm-hmm. He's in the NBA Finals now. They're going to get swept probably, but he was still a part of a big Finals run.
And I also would like to have a scenario where you get a guy that also allows Jaren to have runway to be the center, if not next year, 2 or 3 years from now. Like, I want to get a guy who. I don't want to throw that out, that possibility of Jaren being a five. Because even in years past, Jaren has played a lot of minutes at the five. Whether it was Steven Adams here, Steven Adams played 25 minutes a game. Jonas Valanciunas played 25 minutes a game. Like, Jaren has always played a lot of minutes at the five. And I'm not going to rule out the possibility of Jaren going from 5.5 rebounds to 8. Like, it's... I'm not going to act like he's not physically able to go get three more boards. I think if... It depends on the offseason. It depends on their strategies. It depends on their philosophy, how they plan on doing things. But I think that would be a totally different version of Jaren. If you can mold Jaren to say, okay, I need you to be the five, it takes away a lot of what makes Jaren Jaren. Like, making Jaren a mostly full-time five this year, all the block shot numbers are gone because you're causing him to be
an
anchor. Well, as an anchor, he's not the same level of defender. So I don't even know what that would even look like. So even if we could get Jaren to the guy place where he's an 8 to 10 rebounder per game, what would that do to him as a rim protector? Like, is he able to even anchor the defense like that? So those are all questions
yep.
that we'll see very soon.
Yeah, and it will. It starts here about, 2 weeks? A little less than?
Yes.
We'll have our answers as to how the Grizz are going to go about this, how they're going to plug the holes for
good
sure.
Good conversation, Joe.
Yeah, he is Anthony Saint. Catch him on Bluff City Media today. It's going to be Elliot Perry on the show. Make sure you catch him every single Friday. We'll come back with the rundown. Lots more to come. Jason and John, Artie Turner, ESPN.
Shoot 360 is a great place to get for the weekend. Father's Day coming up. You can spend some time with your kids out there. Watch them get better at the game of basketball. You can fall in love with it. That's fun. I can't wait for that. My 4-month-old just basically lays there and laughs for now. We're not at the stage of basketball yet.
He's not ready.
And Riley, it's not happening.
She's not a baller yet.
She just ain't interested in that. But your kids certainly might be. And if they are, you want to see them get better. Talking about shoot through 60, passing drills, dribbling drills, shooting drills. The best NBA players in the world use this technology. Some even invest in it. 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville.
Yep, and these passing and shooting drills, ball handling drills are all video game, NASA-level type stuff. This is the future. We're not talking about the old cones in the backyard, although they will throw some old school at you. They've got the development coaches. They can improve those physical attributes. Your vertical. Eric Hasseltine's son has done that. They'll help you physically as well. So it's the entire game. It's the entire body. To be ready to hoop, get them out to Shoot 360, and you'll love the membership options. Right now, get out to 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville. Get your place in line for the new big spot. Open it up in Cordova later this summer. It is Shoot 360.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Let's start with the NBA Finals game for tonight, 7:30. You can catch that right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Boston going for the sweep. Mavs looking to avoid the sweep. Off top of your head, NBA trivia go. Last NBA Finals sweep was...
I don't know.
You do not win Cerrito Trivia this week. There will be no Leonard Skinner tickets for you. 2018 Warriors Cavs.
Yeah, I should have known that.
Yeah, LeBron did get
swept. You were going to ask me last time we had a Stanley Cup and a Finals.
No, I was after your performance in the Open on the hockey.
The Florida Carolina Panthers.
I was getting a little nervous if we went back down that road.
No, we shouldn't.
But yes, it does happen, believe it or not. NBA Finals sweeps do happen. About, I don't know, on average, maybe once every, 5-6 years on average. I don't know what the stat of, teams forcing. I believe Game 7 has never been forced by a team that's down 0-3 in the finals. So it has happened in the playoffs. We saw it last year, obviously, with the Celtics, but in the finals, it has never happened. I think there was a Spurs sweep in like 2007. So again, sweeps do happen. They would become the 10th team ever to do that in the NBA Finals. And depending on where you look, they are, Celtics are -1. Pick them. So again, pick your, and we'll get with Brad a little bit later on the show. Get his thoughts on the game tonight. It could be the last fade Brad of the year, which it's what hurts. It hurts. Teams leading 3-0 in a best-of-seven series are 156-0 all time. Porzingis is a game-time decision. And Jaylen Brown is certainly trying to put a cap on his finals MVP run here. It's been quite the performance for him. And I think the thing about the NBA Finals is it's always interesting. Like, You in these playoff series too, you sort of feel like the team that wins and is winning will never lose, and you feel like the team that is losing will never win. It's just like it's just hard to sort of ignore what your eyes just told you. And I do think there is a massive gap between these two teams in quality. There's just no doubt about it. So I'm not trying to suggest that this is a mirage or this is not real or that the Celtics have been fortunate. They've been outplaying the Mavericks every possible way, right? But teams do get off the mat for games like this. It has happened before, and it will happen again in the future. So I do think, Jason, whatever the best punch the Mavericks can throw, they will throw it tonight. Now, it may not be good enough. It may well not be good enough because some would say they did it against them in game three. Kyrie had 35. They got out to a 13-point lead in the first quarter, mm-hmm. and they just kind of walked them down. And eventually, even though they did make it more interesting at the end than it probably should have been, they built a 22-point lead on, you know, the road in Dallas. Will they do that again? I don't know. But I do think, just you and me talking, I do think you will see a better effort for a full game from Dallas tonight. Will it translate to a win? I don't know. But I do think this will be, quite entertaining.
Dropped two game twos. Both of those were in Boston.
Correct.
Have not lost on the road.
Not lost. Were they 7-0 on the road?
That would be 7-0, something like that. They're just locked in.
Going for 8-0.
And, it's just a deal where maybe previous Boston teams, ones that weren't, this seasoned, this deep, but this seasoned, but realizing that, like they said, I mean, they've used the word that we've used, it's time to graduate.
Yep.
I mean, that's what they're all saying in the huddles. And they can feel it. You can sense it. And it's easy to do when you're looking over at a Luka Doncic who's never been here. He's going off on the refs, everything else. They're feeding off of that. And to Sane's point, to like we've talked about, the Celtics are attacking him in a way that it's almost, it's there's what's going on the court, the basketball game, but almost this mental, we've got you because you're so inexperienced. It's like almost like a, big brother playing with a little brother here. And yes, Kyrie Irving isn't little brother, but Luka is in this sense and at this point. And we saw that frustration boil over to a point that it really cost his team with him not in the game down the stretch. He hurt his team. Again, I think Boston had a ton to do with that. And so they're winning both games. They're winning the actual basketball game, but also the mental game, and you just get the sense they're ready to close it out, man. I mean, how much willpower is this Dallas team going to have to go back on the road? When they look at what you just said, they know the record's been told to them a bunch of times, 156-0, teams that have those 3-0 leads. How much real excitement and want to do they have to go back to Boston, where I'm sure, you get Boston a chance there, they're gonna close it. You probably don't have much hope, and so I just think Boston's gonna feed off of that. They're gonna sense early. Yeah, you might get a storm from Dallas early as Luka tries to respond to the critics and everything else. Kyrie could play great again, but I think Boston will weather that storm and end up closing this thing out. It's just two different levels, bro.
Yeah, no,
one's a five seed. I
totally agree.
And then the other one's a team that's been waiting here for a while now, and it's time to break through and graduate.
Right. Now, don't you want to do that in Boston? Don't you want to just have the party back in Boston, bro?
I mean, I guess there could be some of that, but no, I don't. And if you're right, I think Jaylen and Tatum have been through enough now where you don't want any series extended.
Well, you get the parade when you've got Boston, the chance, no matter what.
Exactly, dude.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's go ahead and do it now.
The 2007 Spurs swept the Cavs. LeBron got swept twice in the finals.
What were the Cavs seeded?
They would have had to have been pretty good that year,
That's
right?
That's what I'm saying. How many of these were, one versus five?
I feel like none.
Yeah.
I feel like very few. I mean, they were 50-32, so.
What was that? What did you say the last time was Golden State?
Yeah, it was Golden State and the Cleveland Cavaliers, yep.
Yeah.
So they were the two seed that year.
Mm-hmm. Again, just kind of lopsided here with the one and the five. Like we talked about, West kind of ate itself.
Yeah. The lowest seed to make the finals or to win the finals was a six seed. That was the Houston Rockets in 94-95.
Mike was out.
Well, we weren't even talking about who they beat, bro. You ain't got to get so defensive about it.
I didn't. I'm just letting you know why that happened, why Houston was winning.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about the winner.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, this is what y'all do.
We gave the NBA a couple years there in the middle.
Yeah, Mike was suspended for gambling.
Would have been an eight-peat.
We needed some parity, bro. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. So, yeah, I think that's definitely a consideration. Although, I will give the Mavs a little bit of credit. They were a different team. They were not a five seed after they acquired, they made the trades, right? They played at a different pace. So, yes, five seed because their clunky start, but then they made the trades and played at a better pace than their seed will show. So I'm going to give them a little bit of grace. But yeah, they're up against it. There's no doubt about it. But this is, I will say this for Luka, this is supposed to be where the great ones,
You take the flack. You take the criticism. You've been, you know, windhorsed.
Nah, he pushed away. Did you see the interview with Malika?
I didn't.
And credit to her, she was asking the tough questions about his defense and everything else. He tried to spin him, man. He said, defense isn't our problem right now. Our problem's offense.
Well, that's true. I mean, they're offense.
Well, I mean, there's truth to it. But you can't go out there and have the, as you know what, poor a defensive effort as you did in that game, and then come out and not say, I got to be better defensively. Like, you got to own that head up. You can't try to spin it and say, you know, get the attention off of you. I mean, it was obvious. That was a huge part of the issue. Your defensive effort level was on zero.
Right.
And so to try to – I thought that was running away from it. I thought that was making excuses. Of course, the offense has been an issue. But his defensive level, especially when you're getting questions like that, sounded like, you know, he was trying to avoid.
Yeah, so through the first three games of the finals, the Mavs have an offensive rating of 104.3, which is per 100 possessions, points per 100 possessions. The Memphis Grizzlies this season, right, had an offensive rating of 107.2. So these Grizzlies.
Again, that's a lot of that is you have to credit Boston's defense.
Oh, no, that's what I'm
saying. And the fact that they don't have to use their top two guys to defend Dallas's top
two. But I think that's what Luke is saying. Like, if we could just find some success on offense, we're 104 points, you know, per 100 possessions is not going to get it done. The Dallas Mavericks the Celtics are 116 offensive rating. You know, I mean, there's a big gap. Yes, Dallas's defense has been, you know, I guess you would say
it's what you just said. The Celtics' offensive rating is what, 116?
Yes.
But they're getting whatever they want.
Sure, but
Brown's dunking on the whole team.
If the Mavs' offensive rating was better, you know, you could say, well, I mean, again, they probably expected with the best backcourt ever to be somewhere closer to that than they are 104.
Best offensive backcourt,
and they're 104, which is worse than the Grizzlies
again,
this year.
Credit the Celtics defense.
That's all we've been doing for three games.
You can't just say we got to be better. A lot of that is what the Celtics are doing. Drew Holiday and Jaylen Brown, Tatum too, has spent time on. Those guys flummoxed.
I agree. I think that's part of it. Is like you have to figure out a way to counter what they are throwing at you defensively. They have 11 corner threes the entire series. That's it. They were averaging 9 against the Thunder. They were averaging 9 against the Clippers.
That's because they're limiting the assist opportunities for Doncic and for Kyrie by staying with their man and playing those guys one-on-one.
Okay, so
it's a smart way to play it.
So let's counter that, kid. Let's counter that. What can we do? What's our game plan?
You ain't got no counters, Jason Kidd, Luka. Y'all got no answers. They're too deep. It'd be different again if Brown and Tatum had to be the two main defenders all the time and go score on the other end, be those lead. They're too deep with the forward, with Derek White included.
If you can't take a game against the Celtics without Porzingis, just one, you don't belong. Sorry.
They didn't belong from the get-go, probably.
Well, I mean, that's probably true.
It's a credit to the run they put together.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen,
not the best team in the West.
But if you get swept in the NBA Finals, right, were you really there?
You showed up. There were two games in Dallas that said you did. They had a party outside, even though they were down.
But were you really there, though?
You'd rather be there than not. I heard this question discussed this morning. I don't think it's much of a question. You'd rather make the finals than not.
Well, true, but damn, bro. I mean, you really didn't make much of an impact.
Well, you got up there and you learned something.
Yeah, and just to apply it.
Luka learned a very valuable lesson.
What did the Grizzlies learn from their Western Conference Finals appearance in 2013?
Yeah, it was more of a fluke, as we said.
not according to some, bro. They're supposed to run that back.
Come on, man, green grind. I mean, we maxed out, and that was a great run.
No, look, the Grizz.
But it wasn't going to win a title.
Grizz became the pluckiest six-game series losing team in NBA history after that.
And we
that.
Hold on to that run, boy, I tell you what.
Yeah, it's the eight-seed upset, and then it's, you know, yes, they won two series and DNP'd the Western Conference Finals. But yeah, again, it's tough. It's like you can learn these things and never have the chance to show that you learned these things. You know what I mean?
Did you see that Tillman had lost his pops 3 weeks ago?
I did not know that.
How about that?
Wow.
That's the other part of him and his story this year.
I mean, his defense was damn near heroic. I mean,
he's talking about how down he was. He's writing notes to his pops before every game at the locker.
Wow.
I think I read 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah, we had talked about Lively losing his mom right before, I think it was right before the playoffs. Tillman's lost dad during.
That's crazy.
And was completely unexpected. Was not, I mean, how tough is that? And he's out there.
And he had to be ready.
Had to be ready when they called him up the rotation because Porzingis was out.
He got the call over Cornette.
And they'd been short. Right. Yeah. They'd been missing Porzingis early in the playoffs. They hadn't gone to Tillman.
Correct.
Hadn't been part of the rotation. Went with Cornette.
Yeah.
Man, hit the three and
professional.
Everything.
Professional.
Man, shout out to Xavier
Tillman. Look, he will not be the first, fourth, sixth, eighth person that you mention, but his possession-by-possession defense in Game 3 is why, in many ways, they won the game. I mean, it was a close game, and he was getting switched off on Luka and Kyrie.
Yeah.
And I don't think they scored on him. I don't think they scored on him. So, again, that's the switch that the Mavs do want, to be clear. But he played great defense, stride for stride. You know, maybe he got away with a foul or two. I don't know. Who's to say? History will be the judge of that. But he is definitely, again, there's a reason why they traded for him. You know, they saw that. I mean, he played playoff minutes with the Grizz. You know, I mean, he was in and out of the lineup various times, but he was in that play-in game against the Warriors.
Bro, hit a huge three. What are you talking about? He was huge, instrumental in that game.
He hit what
does that put us up?
He's going to hit one big three for you. You know?
Seriously. Like, he's not scared of the moment, man. Playoffs, he'll take that shot, and he made a big one against Golden State. He made a huge one the other night.
No, it's good to see him.
The only one he took.
I always root for the guys that the Grizz, you know, trade and get put in winning situations. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mike, I root for him. I root for, even though it's not the same team he got traded to, I root for X. I was rooting for Mark when he got dealt. You know what I'm saying? So.
What about Jonas? You root for Jonas?
He was really never – I wouldn't say he got necessarily sent to a big winning situation.
Well, he didn't. I'm just saying you root for him, though.
Yeah. I mean, for sure.
Talking about all these former Grizz you root for.
Yeah, I think Jonas is – but again, he ain't really had the chance to – you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's dead. He's sort of been played off the court.
Exactly.
His time.
And he just looks disgruntled most of the time, man.
Because he's like, not getting the ball anymore. That's the issue. He's always wanting. That's going to be your thing if you go get Zach Edey. He ain't going to be happy either because he's going to want the ball.
You think
like
so?
Like he's always had it.
I need to sit down with him and hear him. I need to see what he's all about. I think, you know, he's a smart guy. So, I mean,
how you go from taking as many shots and being the center of an offense at Purdue to just you're going to be a role playing big dude just setting screens?
Well, because you're like not at Purdue anymore, right? I mean, you're in the NBA. You're probably like I'll take a role. I know I'm not going to be the damn featured piece of the offense.
Just know we're not throwing it into you.
You know, I mean, Ja Edey lobs, bro. That's crazy.
Ja Edey lobs.
Yeah.
Not Ja Jared Allen lobs.
No, bro. Give me Edey over Jared Allen. Edey is built to last, bro.
Edey is the final piece and makes this team more ready to win now than Jared Allen. Stop!
Relative to cost. We're trying to maintain a budget sheet here, a balance sheet. You know,
something's going to have to go out either way, to your point. Something's got to go out, Luke or something. So you're going to lose something either way.
Mm-hmm. Here's what you've done. You've watched that the Celtics without Marcus Smart become their best selves.
Man, it's true. That's
a
fact.
And now you're saying that Marcus, are we ready to dispose of Marcus?
No, I mean, I of course I would. My whole deal is something you and Anthony were talking about. We haven't seen it yet.
Right.
And Marcus Smart was playing his best offensive basketball right before he got hurt. Three straight games of 20-plus points.
Right.
But the point is, you hadn't really seen him.
No, you haven't.
Fully staffed in the spot that you wanted him in, which is the three spot.
And he's 31 years old. You may never. I don't know.
If I have the chance to get a Jared Allen and it takes a Marcus Smart, I'm absolutely doing it.
I mean, listen.
And particularly based on what we saw from Vince and from Gigi, how ready I am to throw in something, you know, in place of Marcus. So that's my thing. I'd like to see Marcus and see what this looks like with a big.
Yeah.
But that's the point. If I've got to give up a Marcus to go get a Jared Allen, I'm absolutely doing it.
The impact he'd make on the court is undeniable, provided he is on it. If you tell me he is on it, then yes, I am in favor of it. I'm skittish because I've seen what he does when he gets hurt. You know, and it's not a thing where he's willing to go out there and it's game. He missed a game 7. You know, like, again, that gives me heebie-jeebies, dog. Like, if I can't, I'm gonna send all this for you. I'm gonna send all this capital and all the, and you wouldn't play in a game 7 because you got hit in the ribs. You got to battle it out, bro.
Bro, that series was over.
It was,
and he is
7.
He's obviously checked out on.
You're talking about the Cavs series. I'm talking about the Magic. They were down 20. They were down 20. They came back miraculously because the Magic had no experience.
Game one. Yeah, okay, I'm with you.
But, like, I'm just saying, like, if they'd have lost that, I'd have been like, bro, you let us go out there and lose, you know, a game seven at the house. He had already missed three games. Like, bro, you got to – that's him. He's holistic. He don't take the shortcuts. You know what I mean? Or the Toradol, that's what it is, the Toradol or whatever they use these days. You know, he wouldn't do what Luka's doing, for example. He wouldn't be taking the pain-killing injections that Luka's taking.
He doesn't have to get hurt, bro.
Well, I know he doesn't have to. So if he doesn't, you know, but it is physical league, and he is going to be the five man. So he's going to probably be subjected to that more so than somebody else. But, you know, I don't know. If you again, are you willing to guarantee me he's going to be on the court, bro?
Bro, Zach Edey might run out there and get a big old stress fracture the moment he runs out there playing 82 games a year.
You're 100%
right. What are we talking about here?
That's a fair concern. He's huge. He's 7'4", 300 pounds.
Exactly.
And he's never had to play, you know, that kind of a grind. So that's a fair gripe.
Give me Jared.
That's why, but I'm not Edey, though.
Jalen Duren, I don't care, but my point is go big, don't go, you know.
I'll go Duren for sure. If I'm trading for a center,
well, Duren. You love Duren just because of the rookie contract you got him.
Yeah, so he's 20.
I think it's two more years of control.
And he's a great rebounder off the rip.
And he's not $20 million like Jared Allen is.
He's sixth in the league in rebounding.
Wow.
At 20.
That's all I want.
That's exactly what the Grizz need.
And then to roll to that basket and catch these lobs.
It lets Jaren be himself without having to worry about that pressure on the back end of the rebounding, you know. He's not going to command high usage. He's on that rookie contract, and he's physically ready. We know that he was physically ready at Memphis. So, I mean, again, I don't know. Is he on the block? If he's on the block, I'd definitely be making a call. I mean, I would give up 9 for Jalen Duren.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, because you're essentially getting you're getting 2 years left on his deal,
and again.
You're operating on that timeline. So you can make those decisions when those decisions come up. I'd love it. I don't know if it's possible. But, in the meantime, in between time, we got NBA Finals Game 4 tonight. Fabe Brad a little bit later today. Catch it right here on 90.9 FM ESPN 7:30.
Next story. Dan Le Batard pointed out something that you said yesterday. We were on air and on television. Remember who was on television and who was on McAfee?
Shams.
Right.
Yes.
And remember what you said about that?
I said
this is on ESPN.
Yes.
And obviously Woj is on ESPN, and there's the whole conflicting reports about Hurley and who was the first candidate and J.J. Redick. And yesterday we noticed that Shams was on ESPN on the McAfee show.
Yep.
And what did you say?
I think
what was your sort of observation?
That it was like an FU to Woj, right?
And that is exactly what Dan Le Batard said, that him appearing on the Pat McAfee show. Is it Shams? Do I need to change that? That's what I thought. I thought I'm right, but I felt like I'm one of the last ones that's saying that. Everybody else I'm hearing is saying Shams. Shams. Shams goes on there, and Dan Le Batard said a fat middle finger to Woj. Appearing on there, made the point, to see Shams on McAfee is such a FU from McAfee to Woj and the established infrastructure. It was a strange deal because, again, to the point that Le Batard's making, you know, nobody's going on there on ESPN talking about basketball stuff, Le Batard puts it that way, without Woj knowing what's going on and what they're going to talk about, especially if it bumps into him. And essentially, again, a colleague in this sense, McAfee, is having on your nemesis.
Yep.
Yeah, the guy you helped raise, but the guy that's turned into your number one adversary, having him on to basically say, I was right from the get-go. And I don't know if you realize this, but they pointed out in the story that even after Hurley rejected the Lakers' reported offer, Sharania went back on FanDuel TV and said that Hurley was not the number one candidate like Woj had reported.
Correct.
So it's an all-out war. What's interesting is that
we played that audio on the show.
We did. Okay.
The day you were out.
Okay,
yeah.
That was the day I was out.
Yeah.
The all-out war between the two of them saying, Sham saying I'm right, Woj saying I'm right, because remember, all of Woj's reports have been Hurley's been the number one guy from the get-go, and what was strange was to see ESPN allow that side to get on its network.
Absolutely.
Because they are obviously in bed with Woj.
Yep.
And so it was odd to see, you know, and Shams had a grin on his face, too. I mean, he knew what he was doing yesterday appearing on ESPN, but it goes back to this sort of, you know, whether this whole thing, who was right, who was wrong, you know, is there a conspiracy going on here with the Lakers and everything else? But, yeah, man, it was odd to see. JJ's going, and Woj just had to report. Said, he even put, with a strong performance, he'll move to the front. You know it's going to be strong because JJ's been preparing for this for weeks, frankly.
Right.
And so I don't know that we'll ever be able to say, you know, without a doubt, emphatically, that Shams was right from the get-go. Because Woj will always have Pelinka and the ability to say, well, he wasn't our number one candidate. And, like, so if you've got Pelinka agreeing to say that, we'll never be able to say that Shams was right from the start. But I think, again, Shams is not putting his reputation on the line with where this story was unless he feels really good about it. And you see him slowly coming back, baby, even out making an appearance on Woj's network
to
shoot at him.
So the reason why that is allowed to happen is because ESPN, when they
no control over
absolutely
programming.
They gave Pat McAfee editorial control completely.
Why is McAfee allowing Shams to do that unless he believes sort of what I believe, that Shams was right from the get-go and had been done wrong here?
So Pat,
why is he mixing it up with what's supposed to be a colleague?
That Shams has been his NBA guy for a long time.
Well, that's true.
So,
and he's been on that show before.
And he also doesn't like ESPN, I kind of feel like. He has this history with ESPN. Remember,
well, he
got Norby fired.
Yes,
he got Norby fired, and he just feels like, you know, it's kind of, they're kind of inconvenient partners. Really, it's the best for both, but it's like they don't.
But you think at some point they'd stand down? Like you're just adding to it. You're with constantly mixing it up like this.
Oh yeah, look,
and especially if you're going to have him on to address this report.
Look, here's the thing,
and not just have him on as Bud, and we'll talk around.
Yes.
The issue you've got with my colleague Woj.
No, Pat is, if his ratings are bad, he's going to get fired. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. Because,
well, how is he doing? I'm assuming they're great.
I feel like, I don't know if they were. I don't know if the ratings were great, because I remember Bill Simmons had like this podcast where he and Pat were kind of they were throwing barbs at each other across the bow, you know, and Bill was talking about Pat's ratings. So I just feel like Pat is like, look, I'll do my show wherever I want to do it. If it's on ESPN, that's great. If it's not, I don't care. And he's like, I'm just going to do the show I want to do, regardless of who works at this network. Like, I just don't, there's no allegiance. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no allegiance on Pat's part to, oh, let me throw the network a bone. Let me get Woj on. Let me get Windhorst on. Like, he wants to go with the guy he has been with forever, even if that means.
I can understand that, you know, but having him shoot at your colleague is another thing.
No, I agree. I don't think Pat considers Woj his colleague.
But you're in bed with ESPN. And you are discrediting him.
100%. It's a
Woj
bad look
by having Shams on.
It's a bad look, man.
I love it because I'm kind of have been on Shams' side from the get go,
right,
wanting to believe that this guy's not going to put his. But no, man, it is. It's a bad look for. If you're Woj, you are steaming.
Oh, 100%.
At McAfee,
because
you're hot.
You're embarrassed. It's embarrassing. It's like, this is where I work, man. And you're gonna showboat me where I work on my own network. This isn't FanDuel TV. This isn't Yahoo Sports. This is where I work.
Me who has controlled the story
and
put my foot down.
Now, again, you know, I if Woj did all this to get back at Shams, he sort of deserves it, you know, just to create this story out of nowhere. Because you have you and the Lakers have a, you know, bone to pick with the entities involved. You know, you kind of open yourself up to this. And I think probably Pat was up on that, too. He's like, yo, I mean, we're not just going to let them do that to you. You know? To hell with Woj. I've also heard a lot of, like, over the years, Woj is pretty abrasive. He's an abrasive guy. You know, I've heard that a lot. You know, like, he used to go at Roser in his DMs, man. Like, in
Roser.
Yeah, dude.
For what?
I don't know. Like, just like
not about takes.
I don't know. Like, if it
Roser
was, like,
said something about him.
Maybe he said something about him. Maybe he said, you know. I don't know. I have no idea.
That would make sense. He does seem to take things very personally.
Exactly. Like he was in the dude from Barstool's DMs about Dan Hurley when he was leaving Wagner. He's like, he's not leaving Wagner. Trust me, I know. And then he left. He left Wagner. He went to Rhode Island. Then he left Rhode Island. And went to UConn.
But the more I hear, Dan Hurley went on a media tour yesterday. I don't know if you saw any of it.
Yeah, I saw little bits and pieces.
Bro, it was a joke. This dude had no intentions ever.
Because it was never real,
exactly.
Bro.
Well, yeah, the whole thing was, it could not be more obvious that it was
a sham. Easy. All three benefited because Hurley got the raise. You know, he's getting more money from UConn. And so all three parties benefited. Woj got to shoot at his man, and Lakers got to say, told y'all we're not just doing what LeBron says. You know, and for Pelinka, it's a shot back at clutch. Y'all ain't running this. You know, that's let me go out here, use Woj, and show folks that, you know, I'm controlling the situation. We'll do it by saying,
exactly.
No, J.J. wasn't the candidate. We'll do it by saying that,
exactly.
That Hurley was the candidate from the get-go.
Yep.
And it came out of nowhere, John.
Out of nowhere.
Nobody had said his name.
And it, yeah.
But it benefited Hurley, too, in the sense of, well, why would he be a part of that? Gonna get a raise out of it from
even
UConn.
Even if you think, and again, I don't believe that
he had not gotten one after the second title.
They were dragging their ass.
Yes,
I mean they were talked about it, but they were dragging their ass.
Exactly.
So they stopped dragging their ass. I mean, there again, when you don't, there's
everybody
no urgency,
won.
Right? But now you created some urgency.
Yeah.
You know, because again, you're in June, the coaching cycle's over. Where are you going? You already turned down Kentucky. We'll get the raise when we get the raise. No. I want it, and I want it right now.
Right.
So I'm gonna go. With the Lakers, I'm going to get a free one. I'm going to get wined and dined out in L.A.
Everybody thought it would be $100,000, $100 million offer.
Yeah. And it was
came in way short.
And it was a $100,000 offer.
It was $100,000.
Really? You know, relatively.
Pretty much.
So, anyway, yeah, fascinating stuff. And I don't think Pat and ESPN are long for each other in the end. I mean,
I know Woj wants to fight Pat.
Bill set the over under for spring on his podcast. He said the over under for spring 2025.
Oh.
Before they part ways.
Yeah, I'd like to know what maybe I'll look into that over the weekend, how his ratings are doing.
Yeah, look into that and see what
I'll take a look.
Get the microfiche out.
Let you know what I find.
You know what I'm saying? Like old school. Old school.
Where you got to scroll through it.
Yeah, bro. They
microfiche.
Yeah, when I was.
You didn't ever have to use
that.
Yeah,
well, I did. Yeah, I did. One year.
It
my
must
freshman
have been at the
year
very
at
the
library.
End. Yeah, the end of it.
At University of Memphis.
Ned McWhorter.
That's it.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Library. Is it still in them? Yeah, it's still, it would still be that.
I think so, yeah. But yeah, like they made us do that in our ACAD whatever, and it's like this is really stupid when Google exists. Like this
bro,
is.
We didn't have the internet, so you had to forgive us. We were holding on.
Dude,
to our
Dude, you did
old
have
ways.
The internet because I saw some
I'm
of your
just,
Helmsman
that was
stories.
The last. That was the last one. I'm saying when we had the microfiche, we were going to the public library in the middle of town in Memphis. We didn't have the internet back then.
No, I guess it wasn't.
And so we were
super
still holding on.
Widespread then was it? When
no,
were
it
you,
wasn't.
When were you at Memphis?
1999, 2002.
So it was okay. So by the end of your time, like you said, it was more wide. But when you started, it probably was not.
Right, no, the microfiche was the way you went back in the past.
Did you have computers
Les Smith
in 99?
Used to be on that thing, bro, investigating stories and everything. You go back and get the old newspapers. You pull them up at the library.
Did you have a computer at all?
What at school?
Yeah,
I think by that time, probably
99. You did?
I don't know. We were using the Macs at the Daily Helmsman. I don't know that I was carrying around a computer actually.
Right. Man, that's so fascinating. It feels like forever ago, but it's really not that long ago. You know, 25 years ago.
That man, Memphis lost 1917 in Tennessee. What was it? Rip Shear lost?
Yeah, you were the Memphis football beat writer, man.
He sent me a Helmsman story I wrote for the context there, y'all. I didn't realize John and I just having a conversation on here, not giving any context.
Yeah, the league.
And it was 99?
It was
2000.
99 for the 2000.
Tigers were playing Tennessee.
The lead was, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
No, that wasn't the lead, but it was probably that bad. It probably was bit off of something else, though. I was big on cliches back as a young student.
No, you wrote, the headline was Shear released, like he was a backup fullback. I appreciate that language.
Oh, I think they fired Shear.
They did fire him, but your headline was released. So I'm just curious why. Maybe you wanted to soften the blow.
Again,
a little bit.
Why do you think we were headlining stories as student? Right, I was a reporter at that time. I probably didn't headline.
Now
that
this
story
is what you wrote: Vols edge out U of M 1917.
How about dude? We lost a game to the Vols 1917.
That's a close game.
Who was the quarterback for the Vols? Clawson.
Was that who it was?
I think so.
You wrote Heartbreak Hotel.
Ugh.
By now, it must feel more like home than a temporary residence for the University of Memphis football program after suffering another close loss Saturday. This one, a 1917 nail-biter against Tennessee at Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium before 63,121
rain-soaked fans. You got to get that attendance in there.
Fans.
I was getting it in there very early.
Yeah.
Again, they had lost so many close ones, I think, is my next graph, right? A bunch of them by single digits
or
something.
Yeah, as it stands, eight of the last nine losses have been decided by less than a touchdown.
Eight of the last nine by less than a touchdown. Well, there you go. There, You know, that really wasn't
Asa
very
Clawson,
good.
Yeah.
How about that?
And the kicker. Do you remember the kicker's name?
No.
Alex Walls. He hit the game winner.
You lost by two to the Vols in front of 60-something?
Now, that Tennessee team was bad, though. They were fine.
I don't care. It's still They're the Vols. You're playing it. I don't care. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no. It was Heartbreak Hotel.
You had 60-something thousand people up in there.
And Rip Shear was forced to leave. He was asked to check out. I don't think it was after that. Maybe it was. I wasn't looking for this, but I found it. When was he? This was 11/2/2000. He was fired 2 weeks later, or released, as you say.
Too many close losses.
Yeah, he was released.
Couldn't get us over the
hump. On the 20th, right before Thanksgiving.
We released that man. I did not headline that. Probably Candy or something.
Oh, we're gonna blame Candy today.
I'm just saying.
My God!
I was a reporter at that time. I was not sports editor.
Oh, you were not sports editor.
No, this was early in my tenure.
Oh yeah.
It would have been
2000.
Uh huh.
Gotcha. Interesting stuff there. And that was it. We only could find like four. And
better than that Houston soccer story you wrote.
Ask Coach Wolf.
You were so acclaimed for.
That story brought a tear to Coach Wolf's eye. All right? Everybody knows. I don't even remember what I wrote.
I think David Boyd still talks about that story to this day. How you wowed us all.
They should have entered it for a contest. I never won anything. You know? It's just crazy. The greatest story never told, I would say. That Houston women's... Is he still there? I'm sure he is, man.
Wolf's around here somewhere.
Shout out to David Wolf, man. What an unbelievable soccer coach and program he had.
Goat.
There at Houston around 2009, 2010. All right, we'll come back. Faye Brad time, ladies and gentlemen.
Very important.
Speaking of a winning...
Let's go out a loser.
Let's go out a loser. Yeah, Brad's going to tell us where his head's at, who he's picking for game four.
No.
A sweep? Or do the Mavs have one last punch? We'll find out when we get back. Jason and John, I'm trying to FM ESPN.